I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Scotty's dancing in the background. We're going to dance our way through this hour. That's a good way to go. We're in our year-end membership drive, and we're going to tell you all about that in a moment. Let me first say that David K. Johnston will be joining us fairly soon. He has been covering Donald Trump for almost 30 years now, and he wrote a piece. He wrote a book, actually. We interviewed him last on that. Wrote an interesting piece with the headline, Trump Feeds Your Kids to D.C. Swamp. Donald Trump ran for president, he said, attacking the influence of Wall Street and especially Goldman Sachs, pledging to drain the swamp. But as president-elect, he is stocking that swamp with alligators. Many of you, I know, voted for Donald Trump, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the appointments that have been made. A lot of people from Goldman Sachs, a lot of people who are very wealthy in positions of power now, is that running contrary to draining the swamp in Washington? We'll be welcoming phone calls. I know we're going to have a ton of them. David is a very, he's a terrific reporter, Pulitzer Prize winning reporter, and you may like what he say or not like what he says, but, you know, our phones will be open for you. Well, the other thing that's going on, talking about money, is this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and the wonderful Scotty Myers is with us in our studio. It's our year-end membership drive. If you have put off donating to WPR in 2016, now is the time to take action. And if you have given, or if you're a sustainer, why don't you make a special year-end gift? It just takes a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Scotty.
It's a pleasure to join you here in Studio B in downtown Milwaukee. And I'm so happy to talk to you, our listeners. Check this out. Last hour, we heard from 11 listeners who pledged, and six of those were new members, so that's really important.
Great.
For us. The goal now for this hour, 15 pledges by 2 o'clock. I repeat, 15 pledges is what we're looking for by 2 o'clock. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on, that you hear on the Ideas Network. So help us meet that goal with your gift at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates mostly with tax dollars, and we do indeed get some money from the federal government and from the state. But we want to let you know that listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
That's right. So your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the airwaves, whether you listen live by your smartphone or other digital device or your transistor radio. Whatever way you listen, we rely on you. So make sure you're supporting to WPR. Make a pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
More than 20,000 WPR members. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You're a good whistler. Do that again. Ooh, good. Good. They provide a steady and reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can join their ranks by choosing an amount, say $10 a month. That might be a good starting point. And setting it up on an ongoing basis. It's super convenient, and it's the best way to support the station that you rely on. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those in need. Second Harvest Food Bank CEO Dan Stein talks about the challenge hunger poses for school-aged children.
One in every five children struggle with hunger sometime during the course of the year, and it's very, very sad to see the impact that they're going to have long-term to their education if they end up dropping out. So if we can get them good, healthy, nutritious food, keep them in school, help them graduate, help them perform, everybody wins. And teachers will be the first one to tell you how important this is.
This drive, when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to make the grade at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please make your donation in support of the programs you count on and for people who are in need of food. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Scotty Myers joining me, and we are here to raise the money that keep this station and this program, really, on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we thank you, and actually, we count on your gift.
Do you remember when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio? I was a latecomer, and it was a life-changing for me when I heard A Prairie Home Companion on the weekends, and I was hooked. And I'm guessing you have a similar story. Maybe it came from a friend recommendation, and you loved the news, or maybe the high interesting conversations and discussions, or the weekend programming, whatever it was. You became hooked to WPR.
And maybe it's been a while since that discovery. Months, years, maybe even decades. Your contribution of $5 or $10 a month brings you the same quality programming that you have valued since the first time you listened. Please give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Here's what we know about WPR listeners. Y'all love to read. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably gotten a lot of book recommendations from your WPR listening, whether it's a book on Chapter a Day or perhaps on this very program, the Kathleen Dunn Show. You heard our wonderful programs with Daniel Golden and most recently Ann Patchett. You've heard these book recommendations, and it's enriched your life, and maybe go on to a bookstore and purchase that book.
Your WPR listening leads to a never-ending book list, and your donation makes that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. That's what we're all about. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 so that we can keep giving you book recommendations.
And we're looking for 15 pledges. I repeat, we're looking for 15 pledges in the next, 45 minutes. So make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes a difference.
Listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget at WPR. Make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or any amount that is comfortable for you, and you can be doing your part to keep this station on the air. You can help. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
15 pledges in the next 45 minutes by 2 o'clock. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, you also have a chance, and I love this so much, Scotty does too.
Yeah.
You can do two good things at once. You choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $15 a month. Give, and then you're giving to us.
Right.
Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. It's an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Sue from Appleton says, I love so many programs on WPR. It's my go-to station. And we've had comments from so many listeners, Scotty,
yeah,
who love what we do. And so please support what we do.
Absolutely. And your gift is powerful, really makes a difference. So make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And finally, on with the show. Let's hear from Mr. David K. Johnson.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Scotty,
Thank you so much
for everything you do. David K. Johnson, we always love having him on the show. He does some really fine investigative reporting. He's been a reporter since he was 18 years old, and he's worked for the San Jose Mercury, the Detroit Free Press, the LA Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the New York Times. He won a Pulitzer Prize for exposing tax dodges and loopholes. He has appeared on our program many, many times. He is also teaches, and he is he's in New York. He has been teaching at Syracuse University College of Law for a number of years. And he's been, as I said earlier, following Donald Trump and reporting on Donald Trump for nearly 30 years. He has followed him intensely, paid close attention to his business dealings, and also has interviewed him multiple times. He wrote a piece concerning Donald Trump's appointments and is particularly concerned about the influence of Wall Street when he had pledged to drain the swamp. We're going to be speaking with David about the piece that he recently wrote and welcoming your phone calls, because if you did vote for Donald Trump, and I know many people did who are listening right now, do you find it troublesome the millionaires and billionaires who are being appointed to prominent positions in his cabinet? Does that make you worried? Are you troubled by that? We'll be talking about that, and you can reach our conversation by calling 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. David K. Johnston, hello again. Thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Great to have you with us, David. Let's talk about the number of people from Goldman Sachs who have been given prominent positions. And these guys are really in the money, aren't they?
Yeah. Goldman Sachs, you know, was famously described by another writer as a vampire squid on the economy. And it is really astonishing that Donald Trump runs against Wall Street, poses as the friend of working class Americans, and then as soon as he has won the Electoral College, turns to Wall Street, and particularly people with not good reputations when it comes to working class people, to populate the roughly 8,000 political appointments he's going to make.
Let's start with Treasury Secretary. You write about Steven Mnuchin, a 17-year veteran of Goldman, who left with a stake worth $46 million.
Well, and his father was also a partner at Goldman. But the more important thing, if I think about Mnuchin, is that he was involved in the purchase of IndyMac Bank, which was one of the principal banks involved in tanking the American economy because of corrupt mortgage deals. Bought it at a fire sale price. Took $2 billion in 6 years out of it in dividends, and about $2 billion of profits when it was sold for double the price they paid for it. And during the period that he was chairman of the bank, which changed its name to One West, they were particularly harsh on older Americans who had reverse mortgages. There's a well-documented case of someone who over 27 cents, that is, they owed 30 cents and they wrote a check for three rather than 30. I can't imagine a person in their 80s making a mistake like that. Seized their house and threw them out.
Ooh.
A 90-year-old man thrown out, a widower, thrown out of his house. And protests and complaints that this was, you know, overly aggressive actions by the banks fell on totally deaf ears. So anybody who thinks that Steve Mnuchin as Secretary of the Treasury is going to be looking out for blue-collar workers in America, pink-collar workers in America, got news for you. Not likely.
Mm. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross.
Well, Wilbur, I know. Wilbur is a guy who has made a fortune buying distressed companies. He then gets publicity about how he saved jobs. He then recapitalizes the companies, sucks huge amounts of capital out of the companies for himself and his fellow investors, and then leaves the company, and the jobs go away. But, of course, on his watch, the jobs were still there. He just kept the place going long enough to recapitalize it. Wilbur is, frankly, the most colorless person I think I may have ever interviewed in my life. I was trying to get him once to describe what was going on during negotiations with Merv Griffin, who was fighting with Donald Trump over the resort's casino company and what became the Trump Taj Mahal that's now gone out of business. And he was really good with the numbers, and he could tell you when this or that number shifted around the room, but he couldn't describe anything beyond that at all. It was just numbers. There was no humanity in him in discussing any of this stuff. And I think as head of commerce, you'll see a similar total focus on numbers and money, not on people.
Mm. And speaking of humanity, there is this troublesome story of his getting control, you write, of the firm that owned the Sago mine in West Virginia, had all kinds of safety violations. There was an explosion, a coal explosion. 12 miners died. He says he's guilt-ridden over the tragedy, but didn't visit the widows and orphans and didn't offer money until others donated.
Yes, yeah, so he offered to match other people's gifts. He didn't himself take responsibility, and he was instrumental in pushing this idea that you had to push productivity and you had to push productivity. And as we saw, not just in the Sago mine explosion, but the later explosion at another mine, when managers get pressed on safety issues in mining, we end up too often with disastrous consequences. In this case, they weren't properly ventilating the mine and looking for coal dust, which can be very explosive. And Ross's reaction is entirely secondhand. I mean, basically, he outsourced whatever guilt he says he felt by offering to match other people's gifts after they said they were going to send money. Why wasn't he doing this himself? Why did he he says his manager told him not to go to the scene. Well, yeah, right when the disaster is underway, that's like why the president shouldn't go somewhere when there's flooding right then. You go after the first responders have done their work. But he never went there. And the widows and the orphans of the dead miners certainly do not think well. And I won't be surprised if the Democrats try to get a couple of them called as witnesses at his confirmation hearing.
Oh, interesting.
Commerce Secretary.
Yeah. There has been a whole lot of concern. We have a lot of educators who listen to us and support us, certainly. This education secretary, you write, there's a lot of money to be made if the Trump administration arranges to funnel tax dollars to private corporations to run schools from kindergarten through high school. It would appear that the nomination for education secretary, DeVos, may want to go in that direction.
Yeah, but Betsy DeVos, who went to private schools, whose children go to private schools, and by private I mean non-government run schools, has been in the forefront in Michigan of the charter school movement. Now, the charter school movement has some successes to point to around the country, but one of their biggest failures is Detroit. And Betsy DeVos will try very hard not to get into the issues in Detroit. She was extremely active in trying to make sure that the Michigan legislature arranged financing for charter schools the way she wanted it done. Interestingly, she's never been willing to do what strikes me as the best way to figure out if a competitive school market would work, and that is you pick a reasonably sized city, say Rochester, New York, where I live, where we have an utterly failed school system, and you have a complete market where parents get all the money, every school has to take every kid who shows up, and you have to fund transportation so that every kid can go to every school, any school they want in the city, even if that means that, let's say, there's a half a dozen kids who have to be put in a taxi cab every morning and driven to school and driven home, so that you can see if a competitive model really works. She's not really interested in that. She is part of a movement that critics say, and I cannot tie anything directly she has said to this, but I can the people who she supports and who support her publicly. The idea that the problem with government-run schools is that they're not teaching religion, and that many of her critics and say, and they point to the people around her she supports, that we need to get rid of public education in America. And I hope that that issue is thoroughly explored during her confirmation hearings. And I certainly, just to be clear about this, we need to update education in America. We have a model based on the 19th century industrial economy's needs. We need a schooling that is much more like what my students who come from China and Japan and Korea have, which is much more rigorous math, much more rigorous study of narrative. They actually have to read serious novels and talk about them and think about them so that they have better critical thinking skills.
David K. Johnson is our guest this hour. His latest book is The Making of Donald Trump, which is a very interesting. David has done many, many interviews with Donald Trump and has spent a good portion of the last 30 years studying him quite intensely. His latest piece is about the Trump appointments to top cabinet positions and top administrative posts and his concern that on the campaign trail, Donald Trump saying that he was going to drain the swamp, and it turns out there are a lot of people with a whole lot of money, quite removed from the average guy and gal in this country trying to make a living. Do you find that hypocritical on his part? Do you want to give him the benefit of the doubt that these will be people who are good at what they do and they'll be good for you? We welcome your phone calls for David. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and lines are open for you. We have people wanting to talk about Betsy DeVos and we'll start with those calls in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. And we'll continue with David K. Johnson in just a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we're also in our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on us for in-depth talk of the issues, and we count on you to keep the discussion of these issues on the air. Your gift right now really does make a big difference to us. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
All right, just checking the pledge count scoreboard here. We're looking at for 12 more pledges in the next 31 minutes. Your gift right now is so important. Support the programs that you rely on every day.
And we thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy this program. You also enjoy Zorba Pastor on your health, the People's Pharmacy, Radio Lab, Chapter a Day, and so many more. You rely on those.
WPR gives you so much information every day. It's unbelievable. So support all the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role as a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members want to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio programming will be here today and tomorrow and 100 years from now. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR, you can join the 9XM Leadership Circle today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, here's our favorite metaphor, analogy, the budget pie. You know, if we want to slice WPR's budget pie up, our largest, biggest piece of pie is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, you know, the state and federal governments and businesses are important, of course, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you missed that, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift might be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, we thank you.
We crave substance, and yet that can be hard to find on the radio dial or anywhere. That's why you listen to WPR and specifically this program. We really sink our teeth into the important topics.
And David K. Johnson is with us, and we'll return to that discussion in just a moment. He's been with us many times. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter who spent 30 years studying Donald Trump. His information is important to hear. Think about all the shows we've done. Eleanor Roosevelt, great book on her. Daniel Golden is a real treasure. And Ann Patchett giving book recommendations that will take you into the next year.
That's right.
Issues that aren't getting enough attention elsewhere, you get that information here. It's really important now. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be saying to yourself, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it today. This is your last chance to pledge your support for this show during this membership drive.
Don't delay. Join the community of people who come together to make great radio. And we all talk to each other. That's a wonderful part of this. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Scotty.
The question that we ask ourselves is, what's the appropriate amount? How much should I give? The amount is completely up to you. Here's a suggestion. Become a sustainer. and make ongoing monthly donations. Many first-time donors give $5 or $10 a month.
Many renewing members give $15 a month, and a growing number of people give $100 a month. It's completely up to you. Whatever amount you choose is just so appreciated. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Where are we?
Well, we've heard from five people. Two of you are new members. We really appreciate that. We have 28 minutes to go. Help now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you. Make today that day. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much. David K. Johnston is our guest. He is the author of The Making of Donald Trump. He is a winner of the Pulitzer Prize, and we're talking about Trump's appointments, cabinet position, important cabinet positions, and also other important administrative positions. He is worried that instead of draining the swamp, he's stocking the swamp with alligators, and that's what we're talking about. 800-486-8655 is our on-air number. Willem and Colfax, hi.
Hi. Thank you for your work and on journalism, because I remember of the many things that Donald Trump has said that are disturbing, is one of the things he said was 75% of the press are scum, which I think is, you know, an outrageous statement. He doesn't understand the First Amendment or the importance of a free press in a democratic society. But the reason I called was I grew up in Holland, Michigan. I'm quite familiar with the DeVos family and their attitude. They have a sort of a warped view of a sort of a warped Calvinist view that the people with the most money are the most blessed and the closest to God. And her brother, I think, is Eric Prince, who is the founder of Blackwater. And there's a great book about that by Jeremy Scahill, who's also a great reporter. It's called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. And this is their ideology. Their attitude is to take taxpayer dollars and fund private businesses like these private schools and the private mercenary armies. They see the taxpayer dollar as a pool of money that they would like to access for their own.
David.
Well, I certainly think that's a reasonable view of the DeVos family. They are very much Calvinists who think that your prosperity reflects God's view that you have done well in the world, and they're not particularly known for charity to those who are not in some way like themselves. And Betsy DeVos' record here is one of using money to steer the government where she wants it to be, rather than using better arguments to steer it where you want it to be. So I do think this scenario is a lot of concern. I think it goes to the heart of a fundamental problem with Donald Trump and the White House. Donald Trump has no developed political philosophy. Paul Ryan, who I've written very critical pieces about because I don't think his math works, is a public servant. And he is trying to do what he thinks is the best thing to do. Donald Trump is about Donald Trump. And he wants to be successful as president only because it goes to the glorification of what he himself says is the genetically superior Donald Trump.
Hmm. What did you make of the tweets last night taking on the local union leader in Indiana who was trying to correct him on the number of jobs that were going to be saved by Carrier? Not only did he tweet once and really take off on this guy, he tweeted again, and the guy got death threats.
Well, this is not the least bit surprising. Donald Trump has no interest in ordinary working Americans. And what Joe Cook, whom I know, the local union president, did was point out that the number of jobs saved wasn't 1,100. It was more like 730. And that a number of these were management or non-union positions that were saved. And nothing was done for people at another Carrier factory right down the street. It's interesting, the news business has given vastly more coverage to this very small bore targeted action by Trump than to the fact that we've just had 81 consecutive months of job growth, a record. The previous record was 52 months. We've added 15.6 million private sector jobs. That's more jobs than Canada and Europe combined. And that gets no coverage. I mean, literally unmentioned in a number of news organizations, but Trump is on the front page, and it goes to what a master manipulator of the conventions of journalism he is. Attacking the union? Oh, unions are, in this administration, going to face much worse problems than they have already. And you can track something that very easily in the data. As union membership in the U.S. has declined, so has the fall in family incomes. Then you put them in a chart and track them, as I've done and other people have done, and it's amazing how closely correlated they are. When 37% of American private sector workers were in unions, about 80% of workers benefited. Weakening unions has led to bigger returns to owners, returns to capital, and smaller returns to labor.
But David, here's a guy, as we all well know, who said, I'm going to help you. Essentially, I feel your pain. I understand what's going on with you. People voted for him because they said nobody else had noticed their pain. Doesn't he have an obligation, or he will face the fact that he's not going to be reelected, to do something for people who are hurting in this country?
Well, he will do things that will help small, targeted, selected groups of people. But this is a con. I mean, it's important to understand that, you know, Donald Trump's entire life has been one of taking and not giving. His projects he put no money into, for example, Atlantic City. He always had a negative investment in Atlantic City. His first big famous project, where he took the derelict Commodore Hotel in Midtown Manhattan and turned it into the Grand Hyatt, he didn't have a penny of his own money in that deal, and he got, for a $100 million project, $400 million at least of welfare, and then the inspector general for the city found that he was cheating the city of New York by filing two different sets of numbers in different places to avoid meeting his obligations. There's a reason that he's been involved in so many lawsuits, and there are far more people who he has refused to pay for work they did, work that he took or goods that he took, that didn't sue than did sue him. And it's the nature of who he is. I mean, the news media did a terrible job here of what's called vetting the candidate, of tying his performance to his claims.
Let's go to Elizabeth next. Thanks, Willem, for your phone call. Elizabeth in Mount Pleasant. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Real quick about your show. My brother, who's now 26, started listening to you in fourth grade.
Oh,
you by
gosh.
Name and the things you covered. It was adorable.
Oh.
But anyway, you know, you asked if, you know, should you have an obligation or, you know, should we expect him to, or are you surprised, or is it hypocritical? Of course, like, I the people that are surprised just were really gullible. And, I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise. And yes, most presidents have an obligation, but I mean, a lot of things, like you said, like the guest said, you know, Paul Ryan is a public servant and he's doing what he thinks is best. And your guest also said that Trump only cares about Trump. And the things he said got people's attention, and it sounded so great, similar to what Adolf Hitler said. After that, when their economy was failing, and he said, you know, used the scapegoat and said, yes, like he got everyone's attention and everyone followed him and, oh, looked in there. Oh, we're also going to kill an entire race. Here, we're not killing a race, but he's not going to be fulfilling his promises. And this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And the surprise is going to be is to that majority that voted for him.
Mm. Our number is 800-486-8655 if you'd like to join the conversation. What do you make of what Elizabeth said, David?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, majority didn't vote for Trump. He lost the popular election by about 2.6 million votes, which tells you the polls were generally right. What happened is in Wisconsin and some other states, white working-class voters turned out in larger than traditional numbers, which doesn't surprise me at all given Trump's campaign. And they made the difference so that he won in the Electoral College by a modest margin, not a big margin. But secondly, I tell you, I really dislike comparisons of Trump to Hitler, not because of the general dislike of Nazi comparisons, but because the Nazis actually had a very well-developed, outrageous and awful, but well-developed philosophy. They didn't come out of nowhere. And Trump is somebody who, there is no political philosophy, there is no knowledge. In the book, I cite, you know, where he's asked questions under oath and his answers show he doesn't know anything. Donald Trump doesn't know. I think I said on one of your earlier shows I had three questions that I would reveal after the election, and let me do one of them right now, had I been able to question Trump in one of the debates. What's the difference between a Sunni and a Shia, and why does it matter to America? Trump doesn't not only doesn't know that, his campaign ran materials calling Sikhs Muslims.
Mm.
That's how ignorant this incoming administration is, or at least the incoming president is.
Let's go back to some of the appointments. I would imagine that this one is going to create a bit of a stir. Scott Pruitt, a close ally of the fossil fuel industry, who really thinks that global warming and its connection to mankind, that debate should be encouraged, that it's up for debate, and we should have public forums on all of this. Dissent is not a crime. Somebody said today it's a safe assumption that Pruitt could be the most hostile EPA administrator toward clean air and safe drinking water in history.
Well, I mean, I think it's very clear that the incoming Trump administration and a number of the members of Congress want to get rid of the EPA. And let's remember that the principal environmental laws we have in this country were signed by a Republican president, Richard Nixon, who, if he came back to life today, would be treated in the press as being to the left of Dennis Kucinich. But the Labor Department, the Education Department, the EPA, OSHA, those are going to be under severe attack. If they can't literally get rid of them, they're going to constrain their budgets and issue orders to the bureaucracies that will change them significantly. And Trump has made a promise, by the way, that's relevant to the EPA. It's going to be impossible to fulfill. He's promised booms in both natural gas that's fracked and coal. It's just an economic reality. You can't have both. You can have one or the other. And we're going to see a lot of tensions. Pruitt is the attorney general of a state which now has had thousands of earthquakes that trace back to fracking. And yet, you know, he insists that there's no issue here with fracking.
Do you think he's going to have trouble securing the nomination?
No, I don't you think don't. So. Not with this Senate. I think there'll be some hard questions asked, particularly of him, perhaps more than anybody else, because he's filed so many lawsuits. I think you're also likely to see some reaction in other places. I mean, Xavier Becerra, the congressman from East Los Angeles, who if I still lived in my house there would be my congressman, is going to be the new attorney general of California, and he's made it clear that the state of California is going to litigate in an effort to protect the EPA.
Hmm. Thanks very much, Elizabeth, for your call. Let's go to Michael in Madison. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Kathleen. It's good to listen to you today. I haven't done that for a few weeks. This program and this guest sounds like WORT here in Madison, community radio station. I make a statement that he's full of bully because he can't tell us what Trump's going to do. You know, anybody in the world cannot predict the next second of their lives. We didn't know the latest problem was going to come to Aceh. It did. You can't tell what's going to happen with Trump.
So you're not concerned, Michael, about the people he's appointed, that they're billionaires, they're coming from Wall Street, when he said he was going to drain the swamp?
What about it?
Does it bother you?
No! Give him a chance. He's bringing in some damn smart people.
All right. They're damn smart people, David.
Sure they're smart people. Here's where I disagree with Michael. I actually have a long track record of saying this is likely to happen, and it then happened. For example, 1987, I said that we were going to see casino gambling spread across the country. I wrote a book about it. It came out in 1992, and it spread just about pretty much as I said. If you understand the economic incentives and the laws, you can tell broadly where various industries or trends are going to go. You can't tell the specifics of what's going to happen. In this case, what's important is Donald Trump ran for office saying he was going to get Wall Street out of Washington. He was going to end crony capitalism in Washington. And yet, who's he turned to? Michael doesn't seem to notice. He's turned to the very people he ran against. And I think that's the operative point. You run for office saying, I'm going to do X, and then you do the exact, literally, in this case, the exact opposite.
Hmm. Thank you, Michael, very much for your call. Jerry in Waukesha, hi.
Good afternoon. Just hopefully I can be brief here. One of the things, many things that concern me about Donald Trump, and I predicted this the next morning to anybody in my circle of friends that would listen, is I don't think he's all that concerned about finishing out his term, really. I think one of the biggest motivators was that President Obama embarrassed him that one night when he that roast. And I think they even said on Frontline that one of his prime motivations was to have President Obama hand him the keys to the White House. I've got a feeling, looks like everything else he's done, he's going to get about a year down the road, and he's going to hold up, you know, shrug his shoulders in front of the cameras and say, "I, this is much worse than I thought. This isn't my fault. I can't fix this for you folks," and blah, blah, blah. And down the road he'll go, and then we'll get Mike Pence in there.
What do you think, David?
Well, I think Donald has been very clear. He's himself said that he wanted to win and to be elected president, but he didn't want the job of being president. He would appoint someone to do the duties, and that's pretty clearly going to be Mike Pence. And I think his Achilles heel is going to, I can't imagine Donald just saying, I can't do this, and walking away. It doesn't fit Donald's personality. But Donald has a long history of erratic behavior. You see this in the tweets in the middle of the night is just one example of that behavior, of disappearing and withdrawing into a Trump Tower, not talking to anybody for periods of time. And I think his Achilles heel may turn out to be if he does not divest of all of these international holdings, which
right.
involve him deeply with dictators, Russian oligarchs. And the Russian oligarchs are basically a network of world-class criminals and others. The Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, that the president cannot receive any gift of any kind from a foreign state, will make him vulnerable, and there are certainly a number of Republicans, career politicians, who are much more comfortable with Mike Pence than they are with Donald Trump.
Mm. And finally, David, this may seem like a small thing, except it seems symbolic to me. We've got this Labor Secretary announcement coming up today, which is going to be this Pudzer, this head of the parent company of Hardee's and CKE restaurants. This guy I read today, I'm sorry, when you're trying to appeal to people who are having a hard time economically, I read today that this guy makes over $17,000 per day. He makes $17,000 per day. Isn't there a disconnect between having somebody like this be the head of commerce and what has been your message during a campaign to take care of those who are the underdogs?
Well, yes, but that's because this was all a con job. I mean, it's the news business is not really equipped to tell people about this. Journalists are trained in who, what, where, when, why, how, and the assumption that people are acting as public servants, they may be scandalously doing so or corruptly doing so, but that's their fundamental motivation. This is the same problem in business journalism, where we have seen large companies turned into criminal enterprises. Countrywide Bank, for example, did a fifth of all the mortgages in the country and a vastly disproportionate number of the bad ones. And there's now a term for it, control fraud, where executives get control of a company and they turn into a fraud. The news business has not, after a quarter century, gotten to understanding control fraud. And politics reporters going to see everything through the eyes of their political experience and covering politics and the horse race and the jockeying
right.
and the log rolling, not understanding that you're dealing with an entirely different animal who is personal, not political.
Mm. David, thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, and I hope you do very well with your fundraising campaign so we have vibrant, strong diversity of voices, not just commercial media.
Thank you very much, David. I heartily agree with that statement. We really need strong voices who have opinions that might make people uncomfortable, but we need to hear from all kinds of viewpoints on this and also hold people accountable for actions. David has a piece that caught our attention on the Donald Trump appointments, which he feels are adding to the swamp rather than draining the swamp, filling the swamp with alligators, as he put it. He's very concerned about those, and he's drawn attention to the appointments. He's also been covering Donald Trump pretty intensely and done lots of interviews with him over 30-year period of time, starting with his casinos. He is the author of The Making of Donald Trump, and David is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. So we'll also want to tell you about our year-end membership drive, because who doesn't want to hear about that? You know, we got to keep these conversations on the air. You know, we got to do this, and we will do this in a moment here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we are in our year-end membership drive. You have to keep stations like this, non-commercial media, on the air and having guests like David and talking about history. And it's so important. And your financial support is the foundation for all of these great discussions that you enjoy every single day. Make your gift now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Hello, yeah, Scotty.
Hello. We're looking for three more pledges in the next 7 minutes. Give to WPR to support the station you love, your public radio.
Thank you if you have already given. If you have not, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you've been enjoying the conversation with Pulitzer Prize winner David K. Johnson. We've been talking about The Making of Donald Trump, the president-elect's appointments, sort of teasing that out, what it looks like under his administration and how that sort of intertangles with the media. These are important, substantial conversations that you rely on.
Absolutely. And now we ask you to take a few minutes to make this show, the conversations you rely on, possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then you make your pledge. That's it. It's simple. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day to you. Become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs. That works out to less than $4 a day.
And think about the value that you've been receiving from WPR in the past year. Consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your leadership gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The holiday season can be full of fun traditions.
Yeah, I guess one of our biggest traditions is keeping the Halloween candy bowl full as absolutely as long as possible.
We used to actually wear ties that had belonged to my grandfather. So there's year after year of pictures of us all wearing these crazy ties, including our dogs.
We get the entire family together, sometimes three generations of family, and we bike along the Missouri River. A wonderful thing I look forward to every year. That and ping pong against my grandpa.
Start a new holiday tradition. Make your year-end gift to WPR today. Your support is tax deductible, and it makes the programming you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we're asking for your support, your gift, $10, $15 a month, more than that, less than that, whatever amount you choose. Thank you.
Sustaining members provide a vital and stable support for WPR. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you for your ongoing support. We appreciate that. And if you aren't a sustainer yet, become one right now.
And as a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. That support will automatically renew every year. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
When you listen to talk shows on WPR's Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation. We hear from you, you hear from experts, and you also learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all across the state.
As our guest just said, keeping non-commercial radio alive and really flourishing is so darned important. Mm-hmm. You go out into the world, an informed person. We believe in information, let me tell you, full of engaging topics and maybe ideas that challenge the way that you think. That's all good. You value being well-informed. Make a pledge to the station that keeps you informed. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Okay, is that eye the clock? We have 3 minutes, a little less than 3 minutes. We're looking for two more pledges.
Let's get those.
Make your donation now. Support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you'd like, you can think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as a kind of investment in your future listening.
Yeah, right.
You give a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount, and in return, we will give you, we guarantee, we promise, we really do promise. We keep our promises, too. You'll get lots of great programs.
So donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And in just a few minutes, you'll have made a wise investment, one that pays dividends every day.
And we have one pledge to go. We'd like to go way beyond that because of the nature of the hour. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Your gift right now will help us reach our goal and let us go beyond it if we can. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And this is a great thing about this year-end pledge drive because you're getting double your money, really. You're doing two great things. You pledge a little bit of money either at $5, $10, or $20 a month, and we'll also give to a food bank. So that's a really nice way to stretch your money and do something good.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we like that. Everybody here likes that. It's great. Thanks very much. We need WPR now more than ever. John and Mary from Decorah, Iowa. They're from Iowa.
Nice.
And a great show, wealth of information from Dan from West Bend. Thank you so much
Dan,
all of your comments. Thanks for listening. We love being able to bring you 2 hours Monday through Thursday of really stimulating radio. It's good.
And it's going to continue next hour.
Yes, it is. We have a great hour coming up, and we'll tell you about it next hour. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour, and thanks to Scotty Myers. Thanks to Katie Madsen Cyrus for on-air production, and thanks for listening.